Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. My name is Em and today I'll be speaking with Professor Valerie Spears. Val is the co-principal investigator of the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank. We'll be discussing what the bank is, as well as how it's helped further breast cancer research over the decade. We're also joined by our research communications officer, Ed, who will be telling us about some projects linked to the bank. Val and Ed, thank you for joining me.
Hi there. Well, thank you very much for inviting me to talk to you today.
So Val, do you mind telling me a little bit about your role, how long you've been working in the field, and what initially got you interested in cancer research?
So I'm a laboratory scientist. I've been working in cancer research, specifically breast cancer research, for just over 25 years now. I've always been curious about why and how things happen. And I guess I really did my first experiments, if you like, in the kitchen at home. I would take things out of the cupboards, things like vinegar, baking powder, etc., and mix them all up and watch them fizzing. And it drove my mum mad. She would go to the cupboards, get something out to cook with and discover that it had been used up in my first experiments. But she didn't hold me back. And I guess, you know, that sort of set the stages for where I am today. I really got interested in cancer research when I was an undergraduate at Aberdeen University, and coincidentally, that's where I now work. I had one or two inspirational lecturers, really, and they really got me hooked into the cancer research field. After I graduated from Aberdeen, I went on to study for a PhD in cancer biology, and that's really set me up for a career in research, and here I am today.
That's fantastic. From the humble beginnings of your very messy kitchen, I imagine.
Indeed.
Yeah, to what you're doing now, which is obviously absolutely incredible, really impactful work. And would you be able to explain a little bit further what the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank is and exactly what you're trying to achieve there?
Yeah, so I was really fortunate to be invited to be involved in the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank right from the start. So as you know, it was established over 10 years ago now. And it's a fantastic project to be working with and to be part of. So what we do, we invite breast cancer patients who receive a diagnosis if they would like to donate some of their tissues or cells to the tissue bank. And we take their samples, the tissues and the cells and the blood sometimes, and we collect them and we process and store them. We take them to the labs and we work on them a little bit just to add some value to them. For example, we'll separate out different types of cells. We'll process the tissues in a certain way. It's a bit like a bank almost. So, you know, you put your money in the bank, it's invested and hopefully it grows over time. The tissue bank's a bit the same. We take the tissues, we add value to these tissues so that the tissues can be used in a variety of different projects. And of course, we hope that these tissues and cells are going to help unlock some of the secrets, if you like, behind breast cancer so that we can have improved outcomes for patients in future.
And this might seem like a bit of an obvious question, but why is it so important to have that access to high quality tissue samples donated by patients?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really critically important. If, like we are in breast cancer, working on a particular disease, there's no better model to study that disease than the actual tissue samples themselves. And we're able to do that in various ways, looking to understand the biology of breast cancer a bit like back to the how and why question that I said at the beginning. For example, we can look at this, how cells respond to a particular type of drug. We can take the tissues and look to see if there's particular genes or proteins or other biomarkers that are expressed by different types of breast cancers. And these tissue samples are really important in helping us to be able to look at these questions.
And Ed, this might be a good opportunity to jump to you for a second. Are you able to chat a little bit more about, you know, why those samples are so important for us to have, especially from the perspective of breast cancer now and projects that we might have worked on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great to be here to talk about this because it's a huge achievement, you know, 10 years, and I'm sure it's flown by for you, Val. But yeah, so I think the important thing is it's like high quality research really requires high quality equipment and tissues and samples to work on. And breast cancer research is so diverse, that means it requires a lot of diverse samples. You know, there's a wide breadth of different tissues that need to be used by researchers to make sure that their research is accurate or kind of has a wide breadth as well. And so 10 years ago, we asked like leading breast cancer scientists about what the greatest challenge was faced in their research. And they said that it was the lack of access to high quality tissue, which was a major problem. And they felt that that was what was holding back their progress in their research. And so, yeah, we set up the tissue bank to kind of attempt to solve that problem. And I think it's been a huge success. You know, it's really fed into some amazing projects that we've had over the years. And we've had some incredible results from those projects.
Yeah, thank you. That's such a good point as well with needing that range of tissues, because obviously different cancers, even just different breast cancers, will respond so differently, and you really need that diversity there. So what makes the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank unique, in your opinion, Val?
Yeah, so I guess just leading on from what you've just said, the sort of diversity of breast cancer, it's important that we have sort of a single place where you can go to and be able to identify the numbers of samples that you need in order to carry out that high quality research. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why the tissue bank was established. But it's a unique project really in so many other ways, because we're not just collecting the tissues, but we also have our cell culture program. And certainly I'm not aware of any other tissue bank that has that. And it really is a unique selling point, I think, for us. We were also one of the very first tissue banks to have a data return policy. And what that means is that any of the data that's generated from projects using the tissues or cells are actually returned to the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank. And that allows us to build up a more complete picture of all the different tissue samples that we have in the bank. So it's a bit, if you like, putting together the pieces of a jigsaw.
It's just such an incredible resource for researchers to have. And it really pushes research forward because, you know, just removing that barrier and making sure that people, if they want to do that research, they can do it. And it really opens up doors and opportunities. And it's just an incredible resource. And, you know, and it's also, I think, it's important that we draw attention to how big it is as a project. Like, it takes a huge amount of resources and running and special roles to like keep it going. And I think the fact that we've been doing that for 10 years and keeping our best researchers supplied is incredible.
Yeah, you've just noticed how big a project it is. I have noted down here that to date, the Breast Cancer Now Tissue Bank has actually collected almost 127,000 samples from people who are at risk or affected by breast cancer, and has already allocated over 12,000 of those samples to research projects, which is amazing. Do you have any particular examples of research that's used tissue bank samples that you found especially interesting or innovating?
Yeah, so one that springs to mind is Professor Richard Gross, and him and his colleagues have produced 3D models of the breast ducts, and he's looking at a particular type of breast cancer called DCIS, which means that it is it's not quite invasive breast cancer yet, but it's limited to the breast ducts, and so he was trying to understand like how sometimes it can lead on to invasive breast cancer, so he was trying to understand how this happens, like what the process is of moving from the early stages of DCIS to the later, perhaps more invasive stages. And so these were samples that were isolated from breast cancer patients. And he modified the cells and he kind of recreated each distinct step of breast cancer as it progresses. And these kind of models are incredibly useful for when you're like trying to understand how the disease works and testing different, whether it's treatments or just generally trying to understand how it, well, the mechanisms that are involved. And it provided incredible information that you can lead on to some really important research and next steps that could lead to new treatments or prevention. So it's really wide ranging and incredible. And then the other one that came to mind was Dr. Will Brackenbrees, and he's at the University of York. And he was looking at tiny pores in cancer cells called sodium channels. And these are found usually in neurons where they're involved in transmitting electrical impulses in the brain and communicating with different parts of the brain. But they've also found that they also noticed that these were seen in secondary breast cancer cells, which they found quite interesting. So then once again, using tissue from the tissue bank, they did some lab work and they found that a protein called beta-1, which forms part of the sodium channels, because it's kind of like one of the building blocks of those channels, is present in high levels in breast cancer samples compared to normal tissue. And they showed for the first time that an increase in this beta-1 protein meant that tumors were growing faster and also helped them kind of change their shape and move more easily and spread more easily. And so that kind of information is incredibly important because it helps us understand how we could stop the spread of the disease. Which is the main cause of death in breast cancer is when it spreads. So, you know, if we can stop that from happening, that's a huge achievement. And this research helps us understand that better. And it wouldn't have been possible without the tissue bank.
And I think you said the term groundbreaking earlier, and that absolutely fits this definition, you know. And ultimately, Breast Cancer Now's mission is to ensure that, you know, by 2050, anyone who does get that diagnosis of breast cancer, you know, hopefully it won't progress to secondary, and everyone who gets that diagnosis will live and be supported to live well. And this sounds like just such an incredible piece of research towards that. Val, I'm sure that some examples came to mind as well for you, some incredible research that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to reflect back, the number of samples that the bank has collected, almost 127,000, it's phenomenal to think that. And, you know, a huge thank you to all the patients, really, that have very kindly donated these samples, because it just wouldn't have been possible without them. But yes, I mean, you're right. There's so many great projects that have used tissues from the bank, and there's many, of course, underway at the moment. But I guess really for me, the first one that springs to mind was our very first ever tissue request. And that was 10 years ago now. That was from Dr. James Flanagan from Imperial College. And we thought our first tissue request might be quite a simple one, maybe just a few samples. But no, James wanted hundreds of samples. And he didn't just want one type of sample, but he wanted them in various different formats. So that really did test the limits of the bank at the time. So what James was looking at was the pattern of methylation of the estrogen receptor gene, and estrogen receptor is expressed in about two-thirds of all breast cancer. And by being able to understand the gene methylation patterns, that gave us a bit more information about how estrogen receptor functions, which was quite an important project. We've had a number of projects over the years and still continue to study triple negative breast cancer. It's one of the rarer subtypes of breast cancer, but unfortunately, the outlook for triple negative breast cancer isn't too good. So it's really important that we understand more about the biology of that. And also, breast cancer can affect men. There's been a couple of projects that have requested samples from male breast cancer. And that's important as well, because the biology of male breast cancer isn't always the same as in female breast cancer. I also mentioned the cell culture program, and that has also generated a number of really terrific projects. We've been involved in the Cell Atlas, and that's really transforming the way that we understand the biology of disease, and could lead to major advances in the way that illnesses like breast cancer are diagnosed and treated in the future. So, about understanding all the different sort of functions of the cell. And we also have projects that are taking fragments of tissue from normal and genetically at-risk patients to see what the differences are, you know, in terms of the genotype, the molecules that are expressed, the proteins that are expressed in these tissues. So really a huge range of projects going on.
That was a huge question. Obviously, you've got 10 years of history of projects here, and I've just asked you to pick out just one or two highlights. But I think between the both of you, you really demonstrated that it absolutely runs the gamut in the types of things that are being researched, and really drilling down into those sort of rarer types of breast cancer and ones that are definitely, as you say, patients have not quite as positive an outlook if they do happen to be diagnosed with triple negative. And I know, I think having spoken to people with that, that the need for research is really strong. And I'm sure they'll be really pleased to hear that, you know, it is happening and we do have the resources for that, which is incredible. And I mean, Val, this might be as big a question as the last one, but what do you find is the most rewarding aspect of your job?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the thought that I'm doing collectively as part of the bank and also in my regular day job as a breast cancer researcher myself, we have a shared common goal in that what we are trying to do, trying to achieve, will eventually help the women and, of course, the occasional man that receives a breast cancer diagnosis. What we do hopefully will make a difference. I find that really rewarding. And also, you know, when I speak to patients too, it's quite humbling, you know, because the patients are going through a not a very nice experience. And the thought that the work that we're doing can somehow help other patients in future is really quite rewarding.
And all that started from your baking soda in the kitchen. Yes. We should encourage innovation with everyone.
Yes, I've come a long way since these days.
And just lastly, I want to mention that obviously we've said that the Tissue Bank is celebrating its 10-year anniversary this year. Has there been a particular highlight for you in that journey so far? I mean, you've already mentioned that the very first request sounds like it was a pretty big deal. But yeah, any other highlights and what do you see for the next 10 years of the Tissue Bank?
For me, it's been great to see how the bank has grown from, you know, the small beginnings and, you know, how we've evolved to meet the expectations of researchers, how science has evolved and changed, how technology has changed. And the bank has really grown and developed over the last 10 years into what we have today, which really is quite a phenomenal resource. I really look forward to the next 10 years. I think I've given you a flavour of some of the types of projects that the Tissue Bank is supporting and has supported. And, you know, I'm really confident that at least one of these will provide a new breakthrough, which will really make a difference for people who are diagnosed with breast cancer in future.
I think the breast cancer research field has changed so much in the last 10 years. And I think, you know, we're opening up doors with so many, you know, the understanding of the tumor microenvironment, like what surrounds tumors and the understanding that breast cancer is a lot more complex than we perhaps thought it once was, is really shifted in the last decade. And I think, you know, things like the Tissue Bank are going to become more and more important because you need the breast cancer in as it is. Not a lot of breast cancer research relies on just single cells, which have been in the labs for like 40 years. And sometimes that just doesn't quite reflect the disease. And so having this kind of resource is incredible to be able to like actually look at breast cancer as it is, as complex as it is. And I think over the next 10 years, that's just going to be even more vital. So some exciting times ahead for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And you know, it's important that the bank evolves to sort of meet the needs of researchers and the type of projects that people want tissue for. And I think the fact that the bank is run by active researchers helps to meet these needs. So, yeah, there's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you both so much. I think often on the podcast, we usually talk to people who have personal experience of breast cancer and kind of their outlook on things. But for me, the research episodes are often some of the most uplifting ones. It's just incredible to hear about the progress that is happening and that we know will happen, which is, you know, it's always just a little bit of a boost. Are there any sort of anything anyone wanted to add? Perhaps we can mention the support for the Tissue Bank and where that comes from.
Yeah, so the Tissue Bank, I mean, it's a tremendous investment by Breast Cancer Now that they've made, you know, over the last 10 years. And we've also had support from various other partners, initially Walk the Walk and the ASDA Tickle Pink Foundation. And we have invited people from these organisations to visit our labs over the years and come and actually see what we're doing. And that's been good as well. It's helped to make a difference.
I completely agree. And I think it also highlights how important collaboration is in yes. research and science. And it's not possible to do things on your own. It requires lots of different people with lots of different backgrounds.
Very true.
Lots of support. And it's, I think, something like the Tissue Bank is an incredible testament to how important collaboration is in making research work and make sure it's the best it can be.
Mm-hmm. And I think a final comment is just, again, a huge thank you to all the patients who have donated the tissues, because without their kind donations, we wouldn't be able to have the bank as it is today and really push the boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. And I would agree. Perfect note to kind of close on there. So thank you both so much for joining me and for teaching me personally a little bit more about what's going on and everyone who's listening. So yeah, thank you both very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe via your preferred podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you're able to, we'd love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend us to someone you think would find us helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them.